Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Beauty Talk for tonight, March 11th. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, and tonight we're joined by the editors of Iconography Magazine, Ty Brown and Aaron Williams. Welcome, you guys, to the show.
Hi.
Good evening.
Everybody.
How are you?
Before we begin the interview, I just want to remind everyone that you can join the conversation by calling 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399, or you can continue to email questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Also, my sister is in the beauty lounge with some information.
Okay. You all will have to bear with me and excuse me because I forgot to come up with a beauty tip for tonight, and I forgot the beauty deal. So I'll just go on with what I do have. I just wanted to let everybody know, for those people who did watch the Academy Awards, that Mindy Hall, Barney Berman, and Joel Harlow were the Star Trek makeup team that won the Oscar for the Best Achievement in Makeup. So I thought that was pretty cool. And if you want to check out some other things that they've done, you can check them out on imdb.com. Just key in their names, and it'll give you their entire work history. Also, Coach Beauty is heading to department stores in North America beginning this month in March. Their fragrance and beauty products will head to certain Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, and Macy's department stores. And for those of you who saw the latest issue of Essence magazine, the April issue of Essence, check out Illusions Beauty on page 52, where we answer a few questions on foundation. Again, Empire Beauty Academy is doing a class on period makeup. It's a three-day makeup class, March 16th through 18th. And if you want to sign up for that, you can call 714-438-2437. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Hi, Aaron.
Yes.
How y'all doing?
Good, you?
Good, we're pretty good. Pretty good. We want to know about this magazine, Iconography Magazine. Whose idea was it? Who came up with the name?
Ooh.
Tell us all about it.
Well, since it's doing so well, I'm going to say I came up with the idea, but really, Aaron came up with the idea.
So it was Aaron's idea.
Yeah, it was his idea to do a magazine. He really wanted to do a publication, and it took me a minute to kind of come on board and really see the true vision as what it is today. So,
now let's go back a minute. How long have you guys known each other? How did that connection come about? And then, Aaron, tell us a little bit about how the idea came about to do the magazine.
Would you like to begin this story, Ty?
I don't know. The story changes.
The story changes so much.
Depending on who asked, I guess.
Right. Depending on who asked one day. I don't even keep count of how long I've known Aaron, but he's turned into one of my best friends, and it's a pleasure to work with him. But I guess personally, we've kind of known the same people. You know, it's Baltimore, so we kind of went out in the same place. And then I used to model, so I knew he was a photographer, and then he would take pictures of me. And then we kind of had these different ideas to, you know, move both of our careers in different directions, and it kind of grew out of that.
Gotcha.
That's the professional story.
We've known each other for about 10 years now. We've been working together for probably about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a photographer. I've been doing photography probably about 15 years now. As far as the magazine was concerned, we have probably been engulfed in fashion locally for about 8 years now. Would you agree with that? Probably about that long. And what we wanted to do was actually to start something fresh and new for our local people, for those people who weren't necessarily mainstream. For those people who didn't have the opportunity to, you know, be in a Vogue or Harper's Bazaar magazine or something like that, a fashion magazine that we would start homegrown and branch out to actually show and showcase talent that we have locally. Where I got the name from, actually I was thumbing through a book of a book of illustrations, and they were actually describing this gentleman's illustrations as them being iconic, and as the illustrations that he drew, they always told a story, and by them being iconic, and they said, well, it was being iconic, and then they describe it as this artist being a pioneer of iconography. So I was like, that's a pretty interesting word. Let me go look it up. And I said, well, okay. It means, you know, telling a story with a picture. Me as a photographer, as any photographer would do, that's what we actually do. We actually tell stories. Regardless of what it is that we take pictures of, we actually tell a story. And even when you look at a fashion editorial, it tells a story. Well, at least it's supposed to tell a story.
Right.
That's how we came up with it. That's how I came up with the name iconography.
Gotcha. Tell me a little bit about the Baltimore fashion scene.
It's still growing. I think that there's a lot of talent out here in Baltimore, that the world has yet to see. So I think in the next few years, you know, by people doing more events and just really honing their craft, the world will definitely see the amount of talent that is actually here in Baltimore.
Gotcha. I was going to say, you were going to say something. I thought I cut you off.
Yeah, even to add on to that, to what Ty said, yes, there is a lot of talent, and there's some talent that we haven't even seen yet, and that we're looking to reach, or we're looking to actually get in contact with that person who may have the talent and who has not stepped out and show that they have this talent. And let them know, because a lot of folks, and I know for some, I'm only speaking for the ones that I've come across, you know, they don't really try hard enough because there's no outlet for them.
Right.
So, there's no outlet, so they feel as though that it's not going to go anywhere. Well, they're just designed clothes for the kids or, you know, the parents or what have you, the local families. And it's,
right. Now, Ty,
there's more to it.
This is Denise Ty. I was wondering, you said you modeled, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you model in Baltimore or somewhere else?
Yeah, no, just in Baltimore locally. And then I realized that I didn't quite have the temperament for modeling, and I was much better suited, you know, behind the scenes, which is where my Aaron actually taught me photography, which is kind of how all that came about. So then I started taking pictures with him, and then,
gotcha.
You know.
Gotcha. So did you ever pursue your modeling career outside of Baltimore?
No, I did a couple shows in New York, but again, just locally, I just kind of realized that I just don't have the temperament, you know, to model. I'm much better coaching and helping other models get to, you know, where their level is. You know, that's
right.
Kind of where I saw, you know, God, you know, pushing me in that direction.
Okay.
Excuse me. So I guess I'm trying to figure, you know, with the existing talent, how do you, and maybe you go about it a different way, but I was going to say, how do you choose models for your magazine, or is it something where people submit their stories or submit their work for the magazine, or is it a combination of both? Do you guys go out, seek models for certain shoots that you want to feature in your magazine, or is it you're accepting submissions?
You want to answer that, Mike? I mean, Aaron?
We do both. It is both. And the since the first issue, you know, the first issue was the hardest issue because we started from scratch. We didn't have anything, and everything we used, you know, we used our own resources. We found our own people. And after the first issue, things began to grow and expand, and they expand to the point where, you know, people are actually sending us submissions. We actually get submissions from, you know, all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Photographers from London, Japan, a lot of places. And what we do, you know, although we try to stay local and homegrown, we actually have those inclusions. We actually include those into our magazine as well. But if anything that we shoot local that I'm going to shoot or if we have any ideas, we actually pull from the talent that's around here. Local designers, makeup artists, models. And how we do that is through our website. We have various links where you can actually, as a photographer, you can submit work. As a model, you can submit your pictures. As a makeup artist, you can always actually submit any projects that you have or that you've done as far as your work is concerned. And we actually review that, not just me and Todd, but there are other folks that work behind the scenes with us that we actually sit down and we review these models or who would fit in this particular idea of a spread that we're looking to do, or, you know, we determine whether or not this makeup artist has any talent or what have you. So
right.
the end of all the questions, we reach from local. We look at local first, and then the other outside talent we actually bring in after that.
Okay, after you go through your local talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me ask you, what are some of your goals for the magazine? And then I wanted to know, especially you, Aaron, is the magazine at this point right now what you expected when you came up with the idea?
Okay. Ty, you want to chime in with goals?
Our main goal right now is to kind of focus on getting more advertisement and getting the magazine out there as far as locally. A lot of our it's kind of strange because we did start in Baltimore, but because the magazine is based online,
mm-hmm.
and it will be available for this month, it will be available for print. You know, you can go online, you can purchase the magazine online, but it's based online. So a lot of the readers that we have are, you know, from the UK or Canada or, you know, Africa. So it grew a lot faster than what we thought it would just by it being online. We were able to access a lot of people. So our main goal right now is to be able to kind of get it in your newsstands on Barnes and Nobles and things like that. So we're actually taking steps now to kind of mass produce it and get it into print for everybody so you can actually visibly have it in your hand to flip through because it's an awesome magazine when you view it.
Gotcha. And so before you answer, Erin, let me ask you, okay, so once you get it and mass produce it and it's on the newsstand, will that change in any way the setup that you have for your online? I'm sure you'll continue to have an online presence, but will that change your online presence in any way?
We haven't really discussed, like, what changes will happen, you know, when mm-hmm. we do actually go to print, but I would probably assume that the online magazine might be a little bit more limited because we do want to make the print as big as possible and
right.
kind of sell that version. So the online version might be, you know, a sneak peek of that, you know, particular issue or whatever.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear...
What was the initial question to me? What was the question?
The initial question was, as the magazine is today, is it what you expected it to be when you initially came up with the idea to do a magazine? Have you reached your some of your goals for the magazine thus far?
Well, yeah. Our main goal, which Ty had just explained, our main goal was to establish something locally.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our main goal. And then the next goal was to branch out and, you know, get into other regions of the United States and then go global. But it kind of went global, local. I mean, it kind of went global, then United States, and then it went locally. So it kind of our broader goal was kind of like the kind of turned into our initial goal, and it kind of like worked in reverse.
Right.
And when we actually launched, I think we had, I think the first issue had, about 40 or 50,000 readers,
Yeah, about 40,000 readers,
And the thing that was so amazing was that we had about that many readers, but none of them were local. So now we're trying to figure out, well, you know, if we got 40,000 readers and we're looking at the demographics and none of our readers are from here, so now I'm trying to figure out, like, oh, man, what do we do to keep the 40,000?
Yeah. And how do you appeal to the local crowd?
Right. And we were, with our first couple issues, we were actually all putting local talent in.
Mm-hmm.
And all our local talent was being exposed to, you know, everybody outside of what it was that we were trying to do. So
right.
I'm grateful for it. I'm very grateful for it. And right now we have, about 200,000 readers about now?
I believe it's 300,000, but don't quote me.
Yeah, about 300,000
wow.
online readers.
And you said when you launched, it was at 40,000, you said?
We had 40,000 hits the first month we launched.
Wow.
Yeah. And I couldn't begin to tell you where it all came from, and it was just an amazing thing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that Facebook, Twitter wasn't around when we first started, but Facebook was definitely a heavy part of
mm-hmm.
it really going global because a lot of our friends on Facebook, you know, when we first started our Facebook page, we tried to accept friends from all over, not just, you know, here in Baltimore. So, you know, when we first put out the magazine, you know, it's kind of like a piece of paper moving, you know, in the wind, you know, someone
mm-hmm.
forwarded to this person and then forwarded that person. And, you know, so that's why I said, again, our expectations were one way, but by it being online, it just turned into a, you know, a greater thing because we were able to reach so many more readers versus if we had went the flip side and, you know, printed, you know, 5,000 copies and spent, you know, $10,000, you know, it probably would have just stayed local.
Right. Wow. Now I know you guys have a blog and a magazine.
Right.
I guess I'm trying to figure out, how does that work? Because, you know, sometimes when you see some online magazines, and I think you all have a very nice magazine, and it looks really good. Sometimes you see these magazines, and you're not really sure, because of how they're set up, you're not sure if they are blogs or magazines. But I can definitely tell, you know, the difference. How does your blog and magazine complement each other?
And I think I'll answer this because our magazine is quarterly,
mm-hmm.
there's a big gap for information.
Right.
So we thought that it would be really cool if we could still have content on the magazine, which is usually old past issues that maybe, for instance, you don't want to click on the magazine and flip through the whole magazine. You know, you can go to the fashion page and just read a particular, you know, article that was in a past issue. And then the blog, which we have right now, we have 6 bloggers that blog for us, and they're 2 are from New York, and the other ones are actually from here from Baltimore, and they just blog on random things about fashion. Even when we give our writers, you know, the topic, we usually just give them the theme of what the whole magazine is about, and we just let them run with ideas. We don't like to kind of stifle people, you know, in their creativity, so as long as you're writing something about fashion for the blog and you blog, you know, once or twice a week, you know, we're good. So that's, the blog is just that. It's a blog. It's not meant to be the magazine. It's just our bloggers kind of talking about how they feel about a certain issue related to fashion. And then the magazine, of course, is our whole compilation of whatever that theme is, you know, related to fashion. Nicely put together.
Let me ask this. I know you said, I think you said this month your magazine will be available in print.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, did you say Barnes and Nobles or Borders? I thought I heard.
No, I said that that's what our goal was. It would actually be available online. You would actually go to the website, and there'll be another tab that'll say, you know, purchase magazine, and you'll click on that, and you'll be able to order it one by one versus you actually seeing a stack of them in the store. But it will be available for print.
Okay, so basically, if it's okay, really, you can order it online. So, will it be available for? Will it be available like in a PDF file? I'm thinking e-readers.
It is available in PDF form.
Okay.
And if you choose to have it in PDF, yes, that can be downloaded at the site.
Okay.
As far as, you know, if you, well, even if you actually click on the magazine, you can actually go and actually read the magazine online. And then we actually have an independent printer who is going to actually print the magazine on a person-to-person basis. So if one person wants a copy of the magazine, they can actually log into the website, click on the link, and actually to take them to the actual area where you can actually purchase a actual physical copy of the magazine.
Okay, that's great.
Instead of just like mass producing them and then they don't sell.
Right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. The print version, though, will have different exclusives that, you know, obviously that you won't see on the PDF file or in the, you know, the file that you can actually view the flip version of it online. So the print version is definitely the exclusive and will have more things inside of it.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Todd, tell me about Wake Up to Makeup.
it's funny because I control the Twitter page. Erin is out of the loop on Twitter and thinks it's kind of ridiculous that I spend most of the day on Twitter.
I just can't keep up with all that.
No. And a lot of my friends before I started, I actually did makeup for like a month maybe. Well, maybe like 6 months. I did makeup for like 6 months. So I'm still intrigued on, you know, how to do makeup and different ways to do it. And I'm still a girl at heart at that. So a lot of our friends on our Twitter page are makeup artists. And I was flipping through Facebook one day, and there were tons of, I was looking at someone's party pictures, and I remember this girl who had makeup done, and it was just horrible. Her foundation was off, you know, from the chin to the neckline, it was two different shades. You know, it was just her eyebrows were funny looking, like it was just off. And I, you know, I said to Victoria Styles, I was like, you know, we really should kind of get all of our DMV makeup artists together and find some way to, you know, tweet these tips, you know, to all these regular folks who may not be models or may not be in the industry, but still want to, you know, look beautiful throughout the day.
Right.
And Victoria Styles actually came up with the name, and it kind of went from there.
Cool.
We love the idea, that's for sure.
It was just actually out of my frustration of seeing crazy people on Facebook.
Like, you're not crazy, right?
No, not when it comes to makeup.
I'm kidding.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Ty about New York Fashion Week, because I know you were tweeting about that. So
yeah, it was good. Erin was actually there also taking pictures. I kind of coined the phrase hurry up and wait, because I felt like, you know, we all rushed to get in line, you know, for all these shows, and you wait for like another hour for the show to go in, and then you go in and you sit down, and you're there for like 8 minutes. And then you leave out. And then you go and you do it all over again, over and over again. So our days kind of entail all of that, just times like 8 or 10 each day. So by the time, I think he was up there the entire week, and by the time I think Friday came along, we both were like, I'm ready to go home. So it was definitely a good experience, but it's a lot of waiting and rushing. To wait, to rush. But the clothes were amazing. We saw some great collections, and Erin got some really good pictures. So,
who were some of your favorite designers?
My favorite from that probably would be Vasilios, I think is how you pronounce it. He's from Athens. And then Perry Ellis. I never was really a follower of Perry Ellis, but the models, oh, my God, it was definitely a hun fest, like 24, 40 or whatever of the best-looking male models I had ever seen in my entire life. But the clothes were also good, too, so it was good.
That's all you can remember.
I had been there, you know, 7 days. After a while, you know, certain things stand out, like hot men.
Gotcha.
Who was your favorite, Erin?
Let me see. I got a couple. Michael Kors. I've always been a fan of Michael Kors.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm a big Michael fan.
His collection this year was pretty nice as far as his men's clothes were concerned. Vasilios, I would probably have to agree with Ty as far as the Vasilios was concerned. And another designer, not a lot of people actually know about was Mackage. They had a lot of ready-to-wear stuff that,
right.
You know, you look at it, you know, it was real modern and up-to-date.
My favorite color is black, brown, gray.
And that's what they had, black, browns, and grays. And Mackers was pretty great. But I don't know. It's something about fall, about Fashion Week and fall clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To me, they just seem they're not exciting as the spring.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay. That's just me. I like
color. Yeah, we went to Fashion Week last season for the springtime, and I can say I was kind of bored. I'm not the girly person that wears the frilly dresses or the pinks and purples and all that crap. So I'm much more inspired by the tweeds and the wools and the jackets. And, you know, like there were a lot of cream jackets and, you know, the thigh-high boots. And so even though it snowed for like 11 days, I'm kind of sad to see the coldness go, because I'm definitely a boots and jeans girl. I'm not the spring dress type of chick.
Spring frilly dress person.
Yeah, that's not me.
Well, we have a caller from Baltimore. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm great, and yourself?
I'm great. I'm always blessed.
What's your name?
My name's Poet.
poet.
Yay! And I just wanted to call in. I'm listening. You guys sound awesome. And just shout out Mike and Ty. Iconography is actually the magazine that keeps me quite fashionable.
Oh,
so,
wow.
See y'all. Yeah. A lot of the outfits that I'm told, oh, you look so nice, are outfits that I had to do, you know, at home. But what I had,
right,
wasn't Michael Kors. Might not have been Alexander McQueen, but it was my take on what it should have been. And I just enjoy a fashion magazine that's not about picking at size and talking down, but is just bursting with positivity, color, and so many things that I didn't even know existed. So it's good to just see a great magazine put together well. And now, after I've gotten to work with you guys, it's good to see that what you present is exactly what it is. And in this business, you just don't get a lot of genuine people that I enjoy doing this. I want to share it with you and just do a really good job of doing it. So that's
aww,
it.
We love Poet. Actually, she's actually one of our guest writers for the thickest issue ever. So you guys have to definitely check it out. She wrote a nice personal, I love her piece, so I definitely can't wait until you guys can read it too.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Poet, for your comments. Appreciate that.
Keep it going. I will continue listening and watching the closed caption of Grace. That's what I'm doing.
Stop telling me that Grace is on.
Okay. I can't help it.
That's okay.
Again, kudos. And I just look forward, just seeing where you are now and how polished, I just look forward to what's next. I'm excited for Iconography, and I'm very excited for you guys. So
thanks,
continue.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
That's a dollar.
Bye-bye. Let's quickly talk about Oscar fashion. What did you guys like or didn't like on the red carpet?
Well, Aaron didn't watch, so.
Okay.
I was taking pictures.
You were what?
I was taking pictures.
Were you?
Anyway,
sure.
Ask the question. I don't know.
Let me ask this question first, because I have to get this out here. A lot of people didn't like it, but for some reason I loved it. But Zoe Saldana's dress, I loved.
Oh God! No, it was like two dresses in one. And I think that if she wore one day and the other day, would be awesome. But together, it was like a lot going on.
I think if it fit her the right way, it would have been a nice dress.
I definitely didn't think the fit was good.
Yeah, that's a little too big for her.
Yeah, well, there was just a lot going on.
But what about, and I always go blank on her name, the Latin actress, and she was there that night. She was nominated in the
supporting actress category?
Supporting actress, yes.
Penelope?
Penelope Cruz. What if she would have worn that dress?
I think it still would have been ugly. I
said it because I've seen her wear stuff like that before.
No, like even like I'm looking at her at my blog, my personal blog now. I'm looking at what I've recapped, and it just like the bottom of it was like black, and then like a dark purple, and then a lavender, and then you went to a lighter lavender, and then it went to ivory. It was just a lot going on one dress. I was really kind of confused about the whole, like, I just was confused. And I hope that maybe someone paid her to wear it, or, you know, give me a shout out or something. I don't know. It threw me off a little bit. But her hair and her makeup was gorgeous.
Yeah. Do you recall who the designer was? Do you remember?
I don't, actually. I think I Googled it for a minute, and I never did end up finding out who was the designer of that dress.
Okay. What about
anybody knows? I love Monique's dress. I love the blue. It was definitely flattering, but it looked like something that, you know, she had worn before. It wasn't anything out the norm. I don't think that she played it really safe with her outfit. So
yes, I agree.
I think my favorite dress though was the dress that Diane Kruger had on. It was a Chanel kind of It was like a holster at the top, and it was kind of, it was a black frilly stuff at the top, and then it went to ivory, and then it was a black frilly stuff around the waist, and it was kind of ruffly, and then it went down. I thought that was pretty nice. And then
I don't remember seeing that.
I liked Nicole Richie's dress was really nice and sophisticated, which was surprising for Nicole Richie. But I still liked it. It was definitely, like, I could see myself wearing something like that. And then I did, a lot of people didn't like Sarah Jessica Parker's dress, but I actually liked it. And then the back of it did something crazy, too. So I did like her.
I like her dress.
Yeah.
I just like her in it.
That could be true. I could be kind of partial just because I like everything she does. So
right.
You know, she could wear a plastic bag, and I'd be like, oh, that's a great dress. So... it could just be. I love Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm sorry. Sex and City 2. Woohoo!
I do, but I thought she looked horrible that night.
That's why I said it could just be me.
What about Charlize Theron, the one with the.
And, you know, the picture that I blogged about was from the side, but then after I blogged, I saw the front, and there's the fabric is like holding her breast in the front, which kind of looked retarded. So I think I take back my best dress for her, and, like, only from the side she was best dressed, because the front, it was kind of, like, the front of it looked like two lavender hands holding her breast.
Mm-hmm. She almost had best dress. She almost
right.
had it.
She almost had it. And then, like I said, I went and I saw the front of the dress, and I was like, nope. It's not going to work out. And then she has on red lipstick with a purple dress. I don't know about you. I'm not the makeup guru, but the red lipstick kind of threw me off.
Right.
I felt like she should have went like nude or something, or, you know, I don't know. But the red lipstick was a bit much for me.
What about Demi Moore?
I don't know if I remember her dress so much. I think she looked a little old in the face. So I think I concentrated more so on her makeup that day.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was some interesting, interesting.
No, what
stuff.
About what about Gabby Sidibe?
It was a pretty color. I don't really know what I'm supposed to say about her.
You want to just tell the truth.
Kind of large. She was nice. I mean, I don't have anything nice to say. I mean, I'm glad she's doing well, and, you know, she always looks nice, but it's not something that I would be like, oh, she's best dressed. But I do admire her confidence, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish that I could feel that way every day, because some days I don't feel like that.
Absolutely. So what's next for you guys? I mean, I know that you're I know that, you know, where you want to take the magazine, but what's next? Do you think there could be different magazines to branch off from this, or?
Oh, no, there'll be no different magazines. We have hard enough trouble trying to do this one. What'd you say?
I said this one is a handful, but.
Yeah, I don't know about other magazines.
Well, will you take this magazine in different directions?
I'm thinking of we talked about branching off into doing other things as far as that's related to the magazine. One thing that we've actually talked about with in the last two Fashion Week seasons, there is another magazine, Arise Magazine, who actually showcases their own designers during Fashion Week.
Okay.
That would be something that we would be, you know, more inclined to do in the near future, once the magazine starts to grow and we actually get that great following, that we can actually have that availability. We talked about wanting to pull designers from Baltimore and giving them the opportunity to showcase, such as the other magazine, what they do. They pull designers from Africa, you know, South Africa, who don't have that outlet, who have those talented folks, and they showcase these individuals during Fashion Week. That's like one of our visions for the future as far as iconography is concerned. And, you know,
then the normal stuff, you know, the T-shirt and, you know, the baby T-shirts and all that other stuff.
We're going to have a shoe, line sponsored by Iconography the Magazine. You know.
Reality TV show. And
right,
all
reality
stuff.
TV show. I still think we need a reality show now, but, you know, for
yeah,
now,
I'm
just running around with my family.
We argue every day. I think we would make good TV.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
But for right now, we're actually going to be participating in the Artscape fashion shows, and we'll be, we're announcing it now, but we'll be selecting one or two designers to actually showcase, you know, and present to the world of Baltimore at Artscape.
Great. Now, we're winding down, but I want you guys to shout out your blog address, your Twitter address, Facebook, your magazine website, whatever you want people to know.
Well, I'm just going to shout out the website because everything is on the website. You can find the blog site. You can find our Facebook, our Twitter page. Everything is connected through the website. And the website is Iconography, the magazine, and that's spelled Iconography, themagazine.com.
Great. And, again, they can find all of the Facebook, Twitter, blog, and everything from there. And starting this month, March, you guys are going to be offering a print edition, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
All right. Great. Well, continued success to the both of you and to the magazine. And normally our tradition on this show, at the end of the show, we always ask our guests to tell us what beauty means to them. So, Mike, since you're a fashion photographer, correct?
Right.
And Ty, former model, photographer, I want to know what beauty, all that in between, and my best friend in the world, business partner. And let me just say really quick, I didn't say this earlier, but Ty Brown is the managing editor of Iconography, and Aaron Williams is editor-in-chief. So I want to hear it from you, managing editor, and then we'll hear from the editor-in-chief. What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me, we kind of went over this question before because I was kind of confused, and beauty is just kind of just confidence. Like when I think of beauty, I think of how I feel, you know, when I put on makeup or when I put on my favorite pair of shoes or, you know, when I, you know, when I'm out and someone kind of sees me in my favorite thing or my, you know, my favorite, you know, Smashbox lipstick or whatever, you know, I feel beautiful and, you know, I just think of confidence and how I find it amazing how a product or a thing can kind of make you feel a certain way, kind of jumpstart your, you know, your confidence or, you know, how you feel that day. So beauty is definitely, to me, kind of confidence.
Cool. Aaron?
Beauty to me, not to sound cliche-ish, but it is in the eye of the beholder. I'm a photographer. I take pictures of people. I take pictures of things. I find a lot of things interesting. Beauty to me doesn't actually fall in line with, you know, mainstream people's definition of beauty. I take beauty out of a lot of things. I can't necessarily say what exactly it is, but for me, I can express it better when I actually take a picture and I can show it to you. Okay? You understand what I mean?
Gotcha.
You got it?
Got it.
I don't really have a definitive definition of beauty.
Oh, I think that was your definition.
Right. And what I portray and what I present to people, that is my definition of beauty.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
What you portray?
Yep.
And what you present?
Yep.
I love it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Really
appreciate it much for having
us. Yeah, and maybe we'll get you guys back on later in the year, like right before your the big fashion event at Artscape.
Definitely.
and you can talk about, you know, what you guys are going to be doing on there. So thank you again for joining us, and have a good night.
You too. Good night. See you guys later.
All right.
See you
bye-bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
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 Thank you for joining us tonight here on Beauty Talk. Our guest again was Ty Brown and Erin Williams of Iconography, the magazine. And again, you can find them on www.iconographythemagazine.com. And iconography is spelled I-C-O-N-O-G-R-A-P-H-Y. Again, you can go out and join us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can join us by calling in at 914-803-4399. You can email us your comments and questions at info@illusionsbeauty.com, and you can join us in our chat room, which we call the Beauty Lounge, here to get a conversation going as well. You can go out and mark the show as a favorite if you really enjoyed it. You can leave your comments on our profile page here on Blog Talk Radio as well. We thank you for joining us, and we ask that you would try to join us again next Thursday, same time. Good night.